Hi, this is the September 30, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grades 4. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a photo of kids playing flag football, and the headline reads, "The Rise of Flag Football." Flag football is more popular than ever. Will it replace tackle football? As you read this article, think about why are parents choosing flag football over tackle for their kids? And words to know, collisions. Noun, plural, crashes, often at high speed. Sustain, verb, to suffer or experience something unpleasant, such as an injury. Flag football is one of the fastest growing sports for kids in America. It was the final play of the national championship game. All eyes were on 11-year-old quarterback Cora Hernandez. She scanned the field for an open teammate. "I was really nervous," Cora recalls. "Everybody's depending on you to make the right throw at the right time." Then Cora fired a pass. The receiver caught it and sprinted past the defense into the end zone. Touchdown! No one even tried to tackle the receiver. This is flag football, where tackling isn't allowed. Instead, players pull a flag from opponents' belts to stop a play. Cora is from Tampa, Florida, and plays for the Pirate Bay Crew. They won the 1-1-U title at the National Football League Flag Championships in July. They're among the more than 2.4 million boys and girls under 17 who play flag football in leagues across the U.S. As flag football explodes in popularity, far more kids play that version of the sport than tackle football. What does this mean for football in America? Hard hits. One reason many kids are playing flag football instead of tackle is concerns about safety. Youth flag football players average 8 hits to the head each season. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In tackle, that number is 378. Many of those collisions lead to concussions. Each year, thousands of kids sustain concussions while playing tackle football. Concussions are injuries caused by hits to the head that shake the brain inside the skull. These injuries can be especially harmful to kids whose brains are still developing. Many medical experts suggest that kids hold off on playing tackle football until they are 14 or older. Richie Lenhart coaches both flag and tackle in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He says that when his 5-year-old son was ready to join a team in 2019, his choice was clear. His son would start off in flag. "I instantly went from coach to overcautious dad because of his age," Lenhart says. "In tackle, you've got to be ready to get mean and nasty and deliver blows and hits." 9-year-old Zion Fielder is the quarterback on Lenhart's Pittsburgh Elite flag team. He plays flag and tackle. "The injuries in tackle are worse," Zion explains. You get hit harder." Raise the flag. Lenhart says flag football provides the perfect training ground for kids who want to move on to tackle in high school. "Flag helps develop that tackle player and gets them ready," Lenhart explains. "It's all about learning and becoming better athletes." He also points out another advantage to flag football. The sport gets girls on the field. 1 out of every 4 flag football players in the U.S. are female. "It's not a boys' sport. It's not a girls' sport," Lenhart says. "It's a kids' sport." Flag will be an event for men and women at the 2028 Olympics. Cora can't wait. In the meantime, she loves watching National Football League games, but she wouldn't want to play tackle football. She'll stick to flag and thinks other kids should too. "They should start with flag when they're young," Cora says. "It teaches the basics without tackling. Flag football is football." Heads up. Concussions don't happen only during sports. You can get one on or off the field. There are often no visible signs like blood or bruises. Sometimes symptoms don't show up until days after the injury occurs. If you experience any of these symptoms after a blow to the head, tell a coach or parent immediately. Headache, confusion, forgetfulness, dizziness, nausea or vomiting, blurry or double vision, fogginess, or sensitivity to light or noise. 5 big questions about voting. On November 5, tens of millions of Americans will cast their votes for president and many other important leaders. Here's what you need to know. As you read this article, think about why is it important for Americans to vote? 1. Who is allowed to vote in the United States? About 240 million people could be eligible to vote in this year's presidential election. People are allowed to vote in the U.S. if they are U.S. citizens, at least 18 years old on Election Day, and are registered or officially signed up to vote. To register to vote in a state, a person must be able to prove that they live there. Words to know. Eligible. Adjective. Meeting the necessary requirements to be allowed to do something. Democracy. Noun. A form of government in which citizens choose their leaders in elections. Number two. Why is everyone talking about voting? It's a huge deal. Having the right to vote gives Americans a say in how the country, their states, and their towns are governed. Voting is at the very heart of American democracy, says author and college professor Kim Whale. Many Americans faced a long struggle to win that right. When George Washington was elected in 1789, only about 6% of the population was allowed to vote. They were mostly white men who owned land. Over time, black people, women, and indigenous groups gained the right to vote. But they were often kept from doing so. For example, racist laws in some states kept many black people from voting for decades after they legally won the right. 3. How do voters actually vote? On November 5, many voters will go to their local polling places, such as schools and firehouses. People will cast votes for president, members of Congress, and state and local leaders. In some places, voters will fill out a paper ballot. In others, they'll use a computer. Some people may have to wait in long lines for hours for their chance to vote on Election Day, but tens of millions of Americans might have already voted by then. 4. How can people vote before Election Day? Nearly every state and Washington, D.C. offer early voting. People in those places can cast their votes at polling places before Election Day. Also, every state allows some form of voting by mail. 8 states hold elections almost entirely by mail. Voters receive ballots a few weeks before Election Day. The ballots must be completed and returned on or before November 5. People who'll be living far away from home can also vote by mail. Many college students and members of the U.S. military will use what's called an absentee ballot. In the 2020 presidential election, 43% of voters cast ballots by mail. 5. Does everyone who can vote cast a ballot? No. In the 2020 presidential election, only about 67% of Americans who could have voted actually did, and that was the highest percentage to vote in a national election since 1900. If we don't vote, we're allowing other people to decide who the leaders are, Whale says. By voting, we honor the many people who came before us who fought so hard and sacrificed so much for us to be able to vote. Get more online. Want to learn more about the election process? Watch videos and take fun interactive quizzes? Do all that and much more at scholastic.com/election. Life science. Dino discovery. Word to know. Excavated. Verb. Past tense. Uncovered objects by digging. While walking near his home in May 2022, Jason Cooper noticed a large bone sticking out of a rock. He had just discovered the largest and one of the most complete Stegosaurus skeletons ever. This July, that skeleton went up for sale at an auction house called Sotheby's in New York City. It sold for $44.6 million, making it the world's most expensive fossil. Rebuilding apex. Cooper makes his living as a fossil hunter. He found the Stegosaurus remains on his property in northwestern Colorado. The region is the richest source of dinosaur fossils in the United States. After the discovery, Cooper began a nearly 2-year process to prepare the fossil, which he named Apex, for display. First, he and his team excavated Apex's bones. The skeleton was buried in hard sandstone, which protected the bones. Researchers believe the dinosaur was healthy and lived to an old age. They found no signs of battle-related injuries. Cooper and his crew carefully removed layers of rock from the 254 bones they found. Then they rebuilt the skeleton like a giant puzzle. Once they had it just right, they took Apex apart and shipped the bones to New York. They put Apex together again in Sotheby's gallery. Cooper understands why the buyer at the auction was so interested in purchasing Apex. "I can feel their excitement because it's the excitement I had," Cooper says in a video made for Sotheby's. "Then they're hopefully going to transfer that onto somebody else, like a museum." Some statistics about Apex. It was 27 feet long. Researchers think Apex once had about 319 bones. Cooper uncovered 254 bones. The rest were 3D printed to complete the skeleton. It said he was 11 feet tall. He lived during the late Jurassic period, between 146 million and 161 million years ago. And the femur, thigh bone, is 45 inches long. That's almost as tall as many third graders. Debate it. Is it okay to sneak snacks into the movies? The lights go down as the movie is about to start. Then you see someone pull a taco from her backpack. The three biggest theater chains in the U.S., AMC, Regal Cinemas, and Cinemark, don't allow outside food. But that doesn't stop people from bringing their own snacks anyway. A lot of moviegoers who bring outside food into theaters want to avoid paying the high prices at snack stands. At many theaters, a large popcorn and drink costs about as much as a movie ticket. But many people point out that some theaters earn about 40% of their money from the sale of food and drinks. Sneaking in your own snacks hurts the theater's business. Here's what two of our readers think. Noah Whitman from Pennsylvania says, "Yes, movie tickets are expensive. Add the cost of snacks and going to the movies can be unaffordable. When my mom and I watch movies at home, we share a bag of microwave popcorn that costs $1.25. At a theater, popcorn costs $6 or more. Plus, many theaters don't have good snack options for people with allergies or special diets. They should be allowed to bring their own." Laura Sow from California says, "No. It's best to follow the theater's rules. You should check with the staff before you bring in your own snacks. Theaters make a lot of their money from the food they sell. If fewer people buy snacks, theaters might raise ticket prices. If you want to have snacks but don't want to buy them, eat before you go to the movies or when you get home." Do you want a chance to take part in a debate? Have your parent or guardian fill in, sign, and email the form that I'm going to tell you about, along with your photo, to scholasticnews4@scholastic.com, or mail the form and photo to Scholastic News Edition 4, 130 Mercer Street, New York, New York, 10012. And this is what the form would say. "I hereby consent to Scholastic's publication in print and online of the attached photo and my child's full name and state, together with their debate response. Note, we may edit responses for length and clarity." Then you would fill in the student's full name, date, student's age and grade, parent guardian's name, printed, student's home state, parent guardian's signature, parent guardian's phone number, parent's guardian's email address. News review. Every vote counts. Here are some figures about voting in the last presidential election. Some of the reasons people didn't vote in 2020. 29% weren't registered to vote. 23% weren't interested. 20% disliked the candidates. And 16% didn't think their vote would make a difference. On the last page, there's an infographic about every vote counts. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the September 30, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.